Some years back, there was a bunch of us preachers gathered together. We were being trained on interim pastorates. And we all had to go with our spouses. And so it made for a different kind of context than most of us were used to. And we were going around in a circle, and we were saying how long we had been married and which number marriage this was for us. And they got around to me and Vicky, and Vicky was first. And they said, how long have you been married? And Vicky said, we've been married 32 years. This was a while back. And they said, what number marriage is this for you? She said, this is our first marriage, each to the other. And they said, have you never even considered divorce? She said, murder, yes, divorce, no. Then we went on to talk about favorite passages, and Vicky actually picked our Old Testament passage for today between Abraham and Sarah and Hagar and Ishmael. And they said, what is your favorite part of that passage? She says, where God tells Abraham to do whatever Sarah tells him to. That has been an issue in our life ever since. And whenever she is disappointed in me, she said, Abraham, you better listen to God again. So I've learned to be discreet and sometimes rather under the radar. Now, our passages for today are not exactly the ones that inspire a lot of confidence and joy. In our Old Testament lesson for today, Abraham is told by Sarah, you need to kick out Hagar and Ishmael, because I don't want there to be any sense in which Ishmael is going to get any of our son Isaac's inheritance. It was, of course, that green-eyed monster of envy. There's a part of us that kind of take a dimmer view of Sarah after that. Seems rather mean-spirited of her. And truth be told, I guess we've all experienced that same kind of inner envy or perhaps prejudice or perhaps even hatred of people who we don't think measure up to what we want for ourselves, our families, our children. There is always that sense of better than. And Abraham, it says, was very, very distressed. But he did as Sarah told him to do, especially when God showed up and said to Abraham, don't worry, I will be with Hagar and Ishmael, and I am going to make a mighty nation of him also, because he is your son. Kind of a foretelling of the future there for a lot of us. There are people these days who refer to the Jews as the children of Abraham from Isaac. And there are others who say that the Palestinians are the descendants of Ishmael and Abraham. I'm not getting into that. But I do want to point this out to all of us, that there are ways in which conflict, whatever its origin, can transform us if we allow it. Conflict can transform us, will transform us, if we allow it. And allow it in ways that are faithful and loving and just. I remember growing up in the Presbyterian Church, about the time I was in seminary, the whole debate about gay folk in the church, gay folk getting ordained, all that, it was starting up for sure. Now, this was in the mid to late 70s. when the argument started up. We talked about some of this in Sunday school this morning. And it was a hot and heady debate. And it has gone on in the Presbyterian Church until the last 3 or 4 years, I guess. It's been there all throughout my career. And people have asked me, how has that conflict transformed the Church of Jesus Christ that is called Presbyterian? And if I am to be honest, it has transformed us in ways that are good and in ways that are evil. And the difference between the two is when we allow ourselves to embrace the conflict and look forward to the transformation. Now, conflict is always painful. We as good Christian folk will do just about anything in the world to avoid conflict. We don't like it. It eats up our energy. It shatters our visions. It makes us angry. It makes us afraid. We are going to run from conflict at any given opportunity. And I have seen this in church after church after church. A little schism erupts between this small group over here and this small group over there, and it bursts forth into a wildfire, and the vast majority of the people in the middle aren't going to take sides because that just won't be Christian. We used to joke when I was a Baptist, we said that Baptists multiply by dividing. So do Presbyterians, apparently, in this town. Yes, the question is, how does that conflict transform us? And can we, like Jacob later on, wrestle a blessing out of the conflict we have endured? Jesus, in our gospel lesson for today, comes and says, I am not come to bring peace, I'm come to bring a sword. And with that sword, he draws a line in the ground and says, there's going to be conflict from now until the end of days. But you have a choice to make in the midst of the conflict and the pain and the turmoil. Will you transform it or will it transform you? Will you transform it or will it transform you? Jesus says, I'm calling for people to align themselves with me and allow the kingdom of God to be the first priority. There's a line in the sand there. And we have to stop and consider, which side of that line does Jesus stand on? And we must admit the fact that we're not allowed to straddle that line. We must choose. I'm convinced that Jesus stands on the side of the line where there is brokenness, where there is hatred. Jesus stands on the side of the line where there is warfare, where there is poverty, where there is inequality, where there is prejudice. Jesus stands on that line and invites us to stand with him and transform those things into the things of the kingdom of God. To dare to speak out against things that are evil, to dare to speak for the things that are the kingdom. And the marvelous thing that happens then, when we dare to stand on the side of the line which Jesus has drawn with that sword of justice and righteousness and peace, when we dare to stand with him and work toward transforming those things, we ourselves are indeed transformed. We are transformed in the work of transforming. That is the call of the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't be standing on the promises while you're sitting on the premises, as Vance Havner once said. I love that old bumper sticker you've seen. I haven't seen it recently, but it's still out there somewhere. Prayer changes things. You seen that one around anywhere? Prayer changes things. Yes, it does. And first of all, it tends to change the one who's doing the praying. Think about that. Prayer changes me. Prayer changes us. We dare to step across the line to where Jesus is hard at work, and we are indeed transformed. The question for us as the First Presbyterian Church of Dalton, the question for us as Cherokee Presbytery of the PCUSA, the question for us as Synod of South Atlantic is, will we dare to be prophetic enough to step out in faith as Abraham did when he had to let Hagar and Ishmael go? Will we stand out in faith knowing that God has a plan to transform his world? I imagine on that night after Sarah kind of laid down the law, I imagine that Abraham shed many a bitter tear, for he loved Hagar, he loved Ishmael, but he finally had that promise from God that the conflict would be resolved and a blessing would be forthcoming. The question for you and me in this year of grace 2023, will we dare to be prophetic enough to speak the word of God to a world which thinks it already knows all the answers? I don't know all the answers. Heck, I don't understand most of the questions. But I am willing to be faithful. I am willing to be hopeful. And perhaps most importantly, I am willing to be transformed. When the northern and the southern streams of the church came together, 1983 in Atlanta, Georgia, the first symbol that they had of the church was the one I really kind of wished they had kept. It was a Celtic cross reflective of our heritage. And then the Latin words beneath, Ecclesia Reformata Semper Reformanda, the church reformed, always in the process of reforming. We can't sit by and watch society drive its way to hell in a handbasket. We must reverse our thoughts, seek the kingdom of God, and speak the truth boldly here and everywhere we go by the power of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. With grateful hearts, O Lord, we reverse our thoughts and consider afresh what we can do to dare to step into the conflicts of the day and find ourselves transformed even as you transform your world. So keep us, we pray, and grant that we may find the strength and the endurance to be your people in this place. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.